going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Michael Kelly sitting alongside me. Amy Mark scores. He's filling in for Chris Ranji, who is wherever it is that he goes. And joining us now on Friday, like he always does, is Scott Jagow, host of KMOX's TIAM Weekend, reporter extraordinaire. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I am. I went to the bowling alley just around the corner from here. For my roaming St. Louis.
Which one is that?
Flamingo Bowl.
Yeah, down on Washington.
Yeah, it's got like this Art Deco theme.
Nice.
Kind of pink and blue. You've been in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. It is.
Yeah, very nice.
And I have a history with bowling.
Okay.
At one point, I tried to be a good bowler. I would bowl all the time, every day. And then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I need to elevate my game a little bit, you know? I wanted to get to the next level. So I actually hired a bowling coach. I went to Florida.
Okay.
Because in Florida, that is where they have this bowling center.
You went to Florida to have a bowling coach?
I was already going to go to Florida for a trip. It just so happens that
allegedly,
this bowling center was nearby where I was in St. Petersburg. And this is where the pros go to be coached. So I was like, well, this is the only place in the country. It's called the Kegel Training Center. And so I booked a session with this guy a whole day. It was several hundred bucks.
Oh, man.
And I found out that I am never going to be a good bowler.
Why?
Well,
what's so good? All you're doing
day?
Is throwing a ball down those.
It's, well, I mean, what I realized is how good the pro bowlers are.
Yeah.
And that their sport is not the same sport as the one that we play.
Okay, but right. Here's the thing.
It is not even remotely resembling that. As I learned, this guy had all this high-tech equipment to help me, and cameras in every angle, and the lanes were oiled properly, which most of them aren't. And
you need greasy lanes.
Right.
You do. I learned this.
Greasy lanes.
Yes.
That sounds like a band name.
I think it's a great name for a bowling alley. You need greasy lanes. But let me play devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said that you could never be a good bowler. You learned that. Or a professional bowler. And how it's
right.
a different game. But here's the thing. If I walked into West County Lanes or Shrewsbury Lanes,
mm-hmm.
I've accidentally thrown two or three strikes in a row. I have. I could never walk into Busch Stadium and hit a home run. And if you
point.
Can accidentally do the best thing in the sport, is it really that hard?
It is to repeat it over and over again. So what I learned was, for example, the oil patterns are all different for the pros. So the oil patterns are completely what the sport is all about. The bowlers get to choose the ones at the top of, like, if you have a tournament, the ones are seated number one.
Uh-huh.
They get to choose the oil pattern. And
what?
If you're
what do you
not
mean a pattern like the like, way the left to right,
yeah, they
or,
have different names like uh-huh. Bear Claw or whatever. They're all different names. It's the way Yeah, the way the lanes are oiled. So the oil might go into the center, or it might go out to the outside. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Is the oil poured on, or is it like rubbed on like waxing a car?
It's more like waxing a car. They have machines that do it. But the point is, the ball responds to that, and the way that the pros throw their balls is, you can watch the revolutions on TV. I mean, it's insane. And some of them bowl with two hands. Some of them bowl like almost look like they're bowling backwards. And I'm just amazed because, I can bowl. I've bowled a 260. I have had some good games, but I'm just saying I was humbled by this experience.
And I don't mean to keep going down this rabbit hole, but if you were going to get taught how to be a bowler from a person, you probably owned your own balls too.
Yeah.
Is the ball a part of the game here too?
Absolutely, yeah. And the ball is definitely part of the game.
How many balls did you own?
I have two.
Yeah, and so, like, were they specially like made like golf clubs?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you get fitted for it. So I have two that are fit my fingers and the size that is appropriate.
So your fingers don't get like stuck.
Exactly. I mean, I can't even bowl with a lane ball anymore.
Really?
Because I'm so used.
You can tell the difference.
Oh, absolutely. The holes are in different. It's totally different. So you know, you go to a lane ball and like the thumb hole is huge, and you know, you just can't easily leverage the ball. That's the point of having your fingers fitted to it.
So the greasy lanes and the oiled lanes, that's why every time you go bowling, you feel greasy.
Yes.
It's a very greasy
sport. It gets on your
hands
from the ball.
That's why you have the towel to wipe it down. And
is that why they have the towel?
Yeah.
What's the little air thing for? Same deal? Blow the grease off your air?
Well, that can do that, I guess, but, you know, just to dry your hand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But if you got a ball that's fit to your hand like you, man, and was it a heavy ball, like a 20-pounder?
Well, no. I mean, the heaviest, I don't know, 16, 17. I bowl a 15, I think. Maybe a 16. I can't remember.
Is there a limit for how heavy the ball can be?
I don't know if there is.
Like, what if you wanted to bowl a 30-pound ball? I feel like that would damage the lanes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't make those.
It'd probably cut right through the oil, depending on what pattern you were using, you know? The bear claw or the...
Just watch the pros do it. It's incredible. I mean, I'm astonished at how good they are and consistent.
And so this is, okay, and I say this because I love watching people who are the best at what they do in the world and pretty much anything. It could be like knitting. But I can't knit, and I think my struggle with bowling is that you can accidentally get a good score, or you can accidentally get 5 strikes out of 10, and you just would never do that in any other sport. You could never accidentally hit a 450-foot home run off a major league pitcher.
Yeah, but you could accidentally get a hole-in-one. Hancock did. people who play it every day who can be okay at golf have never had one. So
yeah, that's a good analogy.
There you go.
So I will say my cousin, he and his wife, they're actually coming in town. They're very serious bowlers, and they have like different bowling balls for the types of lane. We were talking about West County lanes, a staple in West County, and how they're – with all the storms we had this winter, a support beam broke, so the building's condemned, and they need community support because they've been open since 1965, but they have real wood lanes. And apparently not a lot of bowling alleys. Like, none of the new bowling alleys have wood lanes like that.
You guys realize, like, some of the most famous bowlers ever are from St. Louis.
Yes.
I mean, I used to work at
a
country club in St. Charles, Bogey Hills, and Dick Weber, Weber Lanes, who we all know, kind of was one of the original pros that made it a revenue-making thing. And then his son, Pete Weber, then comes after him, and he's a really unique personality. Pete still runs around town here occasionally. And then we used to have the Bowling Hall of Fame.
They moved it.
It's a parking lot right now for Ballpark Village, but the Bowling Hall of Fame when we were a kid.
They moved it to Dallas, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost it completely?
Yeah, lost it. There's still interesting places, though. Saratoga Lanes is one of the oldest in the country. The only one of the few upstairs bowling alleys that exist anymore. And then there's a place out in St. Charles I'm interested in going to. I think it's 3-pin bowling. And they actually have a person who picks up the pins and sets them again.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it 3-pin bowling? Who's the guy that fell asleep for like 100 years?
What are you talking about?
I know. What is it? What?
What is his name? I wanted to say
Rasputin,
too.
Rasputin.
Rasputin?
No. Anyway, he was bowling. Wasn't that his thing? Is that he was bowling and then he fell asleep for 100 years?
Well, that would put me
asleep. Wow, I didn't know that part of the story.
The three-pin bowling.
Did you ever get a bowling injury?
Yeah.
Would it be a wrist? Would that
could
be
a wrist or your back. You know, the torque on your back a little bit.
Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, Rip Van Winkle. Yes. Yeah, I knew it started with an R.
I think he was three-pin.
My mom used to make us play Rip Van Winkle in the car. Did you guys ever do that? So I think Rip Van Winkle, you would tell kids, let's play Rip Van Winkle, and it's who can go the longest without talking. I'd lose.
That's amazing.
But it was to keep us quiet.
Well, that's amazing. That's
funny. You guys never played that game?
No.
Huh. All right. So
yeah,
this weekend, you got Total Information AM weekend. You said you had a heck of a chat with Stu Mack.
I did, and it's the poor guy has had a really rough couple of weeks. I mean, he got poison ivy.
Oh.
Then he went camping.
Oh.
After he got poison ivy, then he got ticks, and then he got hives. All in the same week. And then he had to go to the DMV.
So, that's like one of the worst weeks
that
ever.
That sounds like torture.
What's he doing today? Getting waterboarded?
So awful.
That's a bad week.
And you know, Stu's got a great sense of humor. He's doing fine now. Mm-hmm. But he was very seriously concerned about his leg. He had a panic attack about it at the DMV.
Oh, no.
He's like, I think I might die here.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Oh, that stinks.
It does. So.
And poison ivy, the worst.
John Hancock
gets it all the time.
You guys are thinking of Rumpelstiltskin, by the way.
Oh, we are?
No, it's Rip Van Winkle.
John Hancock called in and said Rumpelstiltskin.
It's not. Rumpelstiltskin was the guy that would do the golden weave.
Okay.
He would weave with golden threads, and you would say, Rumpelstiltskin, Rumpelstiltskin, and he would weave with golden threads. No, it was Rip Van Winkle who was bowling.
Yeah, that's
right, John.
Yeah.
Stay focused on driving. You need all your attention there.
These idiots are thinking of Rumpelstiltskin. Well, that's awful, poor Stu.
Yeah. And then I'll probably talk about the Kentucky Derby a little bit. I'll do more on this show next week for it. But I will probably, because it's next Saturday and the Three Good Things essay airs on Sunday. So I'll probably do it this weekend. Because I used to work in the business, so I spent more than a decade following the sport all over the world, and I know a lot about it. And so I'm excited. I always get excited at this time of year when the Derby is a week away.
Well, and so Scott is our horse editor. You know how Fred Bottomer our health and religion editor? He's our horse editor. And Stuart is now our monkey editor.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Any monkey news we get from
And Sean is the
sinkhole editor.
Sinkhole editor, yeah.
Well, I'm partial to the monkey editor because I don't know about you guys. I go to that zoo and the monkeys behind it. I don't think they should be there.
Long time.
Monkeys, they look too much like us.
Yeah, they are.
They should not
amazing.
Be in cages.
Michael has brought this up for years now.
It bothers me.
The monkeys bother you.
I have to avoid the monkey house at the zoo.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, along with the snake house. I pretty much go to the zoo to look at girls what do they call them? The big bears and stuff. Because I'm afraid of the snakes.
Don't ask.
I'm afraid of the snakes.
I just let them roll.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of the monkeys.
Yeah.
Or I feel sorry for the monkeys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The penguins?
Tigers look like. Come on, they're little men. They're the best, right?
They're so
they're
adorable.
Stinky, though, Aunt Amy. They are
smell.
They may be the stinkiest of. Well, the
polar
monkeys.
Bears. Polar bears are stinky.
You think?
Yeah.
I love the polar bear.
I love them. They
I
just,
feel sorry
they
for him, too.
Yeah,
he's going to be in 100 degree weather.
I know.
In St.
I don't
Louis.
Get that. That one bothers me, too.
I will say one of the joys of I'm in Forest Park, Michael, you know it, all the time running and running early in the morning. And I take it for granted, but it's so fun. It's like 6 in the morning, the sun's coming up, and you hear that deep, guttural roar of the lions.
That's cool.
I was like running with my friend, and this was years ago when I realized what it was. I go, wait, what was that? He was like, those are the lions, you know, big cat country. And it hit me. Oh my gosh, I'm hearing lions roar
that
in the
is...
park, and they really are louder in the morning because I feel like every time I go to the zoo in the afternoon, I go to big cat country and they're all inside.
Right.
They are. Go
they're ahead. Always laying around.
Yeah.
I guess in the morning they may be active.
Yeah.
And that's just like Total Information on the weekend with Scott. Now, in all seriousness, I listen on Sunday, and it is
too.
My favorite program. I love your essays, Scott.
Thank you.
You've got some really great essays. And if you want to sound knowledgeable about horse racing, you need to be listening this week because he's gotten me through many a cocktail party with the knowledge that he imparts.
Good.
Yep.
Well, this year, the favorite right now is named Journalism. Oh. Sometimes I just don't like the name choices.
Yeah.
That's a weird one. There's another horse in there called Publisher.
What?
We've got Journalism and Publisher.
What?
Some of my other favorite names of possible entries, we have Sandman, Admire Daytona, Render Judgment, and my favorite, California Burrito. So
California Burrito.
Those are healthy.
I like the California Burrito.
The California Burrito.
Well, thank you, Scott. People can catch you Saturday and Sunday.
Yep. Sunday show is 6:30 to 9:30. We've got Johnny Rabbit, Ackerman on Sports. We've got Mike and John, mm-hmm. Little Politics, and whatever comes up. So tune in.
Love it. That's Scott Jagow from the KMOX Newsroom. I'm Amy Markscores. He's Michael Kelly. Hey, we've been talking a lot about the Parkway District banning cell phones. We actually talked about it last night on Donnybrook and had a teacher reach out, which is really interesting, with some thoughts. So we'll get to that next. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. So the Parkway School District, we've been talking about it this week, decided to go phone-free next year. In high school, the students will have to check their phones in each classroom. They'll have access to their phones in the hallways, at lunch, and immediately after school. The younger grades, like middle school, elementary school, they are completely phone-free, bell to bell. And we talked about this, Michael, Ronge, and I did. We spoke to the superintendent of the Parkway School District. And last night, I joined Charlie Brennan on Donnybrook. We talked more about the phone ban. I am so in favor of it. So in favor of it. And I actually, there were some, some Parkway teachers who saw the Donnybrook conversation and were discussing it. And one Parkway teacher reached out to me and said that they love the phone ban. They actually wish it were bell to bell, meaning when you walk into the building, you put your phone down. You're not using it in the hallways. You're not using it at lunch. You get it back at the end of the day. Like, they're saying Parkway doesn't go far enough. And they're grateful that Parkway's banning it, but meaning you could make it a bell-to-bell ban. Charlie Brennan said Clayton has this ban in the classrooms. And he said it's a fly in the ointment because allowing the kids to have their phones in between classes puts more of a burden on the teachers than... As the students walk into each respective class, the teachers have to say, okay, put your phone down, right. And they have to enforce it.
I don't have a problem with the ban, and I know you as a teacher and an educator are strongly supportive of it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the argument? What is the pushback argument that's coming? Obviously, kids say, hey, we ought to have our phone. But when they have these discussions at school districts, what is the argument people are making that kids should have their phones?
So the biggest one is the most dire, which is what do we do if there's a school shooting,
mm-hmm.
or if there's an incident at the school, another parent brought up their child has special needs and is diabetic and they use their phone for monitoring different medical conditions. And so my hope would be that you would have some kind of modification or exemption for a student who has a medical condition or maybe a special need. That could be that if you have a bell-to-bell ban.
Oh, man, that sounds awfully DEI. Ooh, you could be getting banned here.
I'm off the charts, liberal. the thing is, like, if you have a bell-to-bell ban, if there is a student who does need that phone for their medical condition, maybe they're the ones who can put it at the front of the classroom. And the thing is... Yes, for emergencies, for a violent situation, the teachers are going to have a phone in the classroom, and maybe there are multiple phones. Like, maybe you have the teacher has their phone, and then there's a phone in the back of the room as well, or something that you could access in case of an emergency. I don't know exactly the answer, but I said we unleashed this technology on the kids. It's up to us, the adults, to save them from it.
What about the older kids just leaving them in their lockers? I mean, you know, when you go to work in life, you got to go to meetings without your phone, and then you have to check it afterwards. The idea of putting the onus on the teacher doesn't make any sense to me. I like the ban.
Yeah, I like the bell-to-bell ban. I feel like that is a little bit easier.
Makes sense for young kids, especially.
Hey, St. Louis City SC Academy Director and broadcaster Dale Schilly joins us next. He's going to talk about that tie with Vancouver, but also City SC plays LAFC Sunday. That's next.
Defensive side, middle third. Nothing affair. 59th minute, Energizer Park. Fires it. Balam. Big diagonal cross field ball headed on the sideline by Watts back to Hartle. Ahmed does enough.
Well, it was a tie. That's how that game ended up. City SC draws with Vancouver. Nil-nil. Is that how they say? Do they say nil in soccer? I think they say nil. They do play LAFC this weekend, Sunday. Holy cow, Sunday's a heck of a day for St. Louis sports. You've got Blues playoff game number 4, the St. Louis Cardinals taking on the Brewers, and City SC taking on LAFC. And to preview that game and to talk all things soccer is Dale Schilly, St. Louis City SC Academy Director and broadcaster on Y98. Dale, thank you for joining us on this lovely Friday.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
All right. Can I, I'm going to be completely honest, Dale. I feel like, what I'm about to say, I'm nervous saying it to a real soccer guy, a real soccer person. Sometimes I struggle with the idea of a tie. I struggle with all the ties. I kind of want the satisfaction of a win or a loss. Do you ever get frustrated with the draws in soccer, or is that just part of the game?
Yeah, it's part of the game. Although, you know, the league has done some experimenting with the two team with the MLS Next Pro, and in certain events with the academy, when games end up in draws, they go straight to a PK shootout, and they do like hockey where they give you an extra point if you win the PK shootout. So they're doing a little experimenting. We'll see how that goes. I'm okay with the draw. I think that, yeah, I just grew up with it, and I'm okay with it.
A lot of people don't like shootouts, and I know you said you're okay with the draw, but do you feel that way? Do you feel that the shootout isn't a real result because it almost feels like luck?
It's not luck so much. It's just such an advantage to the shooter. And it really isn't an indicator of how the game was played. You know, a team could sit in and defend the whole game and end up, you know, getting a shutout, and both teams are held off the board, and then that team would win and be rewarded for not coming out of their shell and trying to play. So it may actually slow the game down a little bit. I don't think it's luck so much. It's just not a true indicator of how the game was played. But from the fans' perspective, it is exciting.
Yeah.
It is tense. It does create a moment for the fans, for sure.
Dale, what last point on this, I will say, I was laughing during the last World Cup. There was some sports commentator, I don't remember who it was, but just getting such a kick out of the no pun intended, out of the shootouts, that he said every sport should end in a shootout, whether it's baseball or hockey. Like, all right, it's a tie. After 9 innings, we're going to start kicking soccer balls, which I thought was kind of funny.
Dale,
he promoted the game, at least.
Right.
Dale, they don't seem to have this impatience with ties over in Europe. Has there been any movement to change the way that the standings are done over in Europe?
You mean in terms of like promotion, go, relegation,
yeah, come
and
into
moving
the,
teams
no,
up and
come
down?
Into shootouts. I mean, do they go to shootouts over in Europe?
No, only in events. Mm-hmm. You know, like a certain levels of Champions League or FA Cups, and that kind of, when they get to a certain stage in a game. You know what they do over there is, in a lot of the competitions, they'll do replays. So, you know, if this was a competition, not just a league game, but a tournament, we would have played Vancouver. And since we tied, then we would then travel on a subsequent date to Vancouver to play again. And then if that was a tie, they'd have an overtime period and a penalty shootout.
And speaking of the European players, you know, obviously we all know Messi came over and so many other European players. What's the state of the MLS? Is it becoming one of the premier leagues that is able to compete for the best talent in the world?
I would say that in years past, we were looked at, not in a retirement league, but we were attracting players that were towards the end of their career. I think for the highest level players like Messi, who's I believe 37 now, that would be the case. But we are attracting high level players at a younger age. Are we considered one of the top leagues in the world? No, not yet. But we are better. We are perceived to be better than what we were. We have surpassed some of the second-tier leagues across the world, but we're not at the same level as Germany, Spain, England, to name a few.
Dale, what are your thoughts on the recent acquisition of Silva in a trade with Atlanta? What do fans need to know about him?
Yeah, so very, you know, super athletic, good 1v1 dribbler, will add a sense of, you know, a dynamic sense to the game in that he can run at people, he can help stretch the game, meaning we can play through balls and he can run onto them. Certainly be one of the faster guys in the group, can help threaten the goal, and hopefully that helps loosen things up in the center of the field for Klaus and Becher and Toyshirt, some of the guys that could use a little bit more room to maybe create some chances and score some goals. So I think the thought is that this is gonna help stretch the game a little bit, give us a threat in behind, but also help loosen things up for the guys in front of goal. Because, you know, as you played in your clip, we need a little more to create. We need to create a little more, some more chances, mm-hmm. and some more goals.
Why do you think that City is not able to create the offensive scoring chances that they did in the first year, but even last year, right? They're struggling a bit more.
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, the Olaf has taken an approach of let's sit a little bit deeper, let's defend our goal first, and try to eliminate the opportunities for the other team, and then let's find our moments to get forward and create chances that way, whether it's on restarts, counterattacks, or through possession. And, you know, you see through his player selection, you see us now creating more chances. We haven't been able to, you know, really find our way to finish them in a way that we can start getting 3 points instead of a draw or near misses. But, yeah, I would say, you know, just we're winning the ball deeper on the field than higher up the field. And year one, certainly, we were winning the ball way up the field and were able to get the goal within a pass or two, but it was exposing us at the back. So I think Olaf has taken a more conservative approach. And you know, in the beginning, we were able to sneak out a couple of results. But now we're, you know, a little bit of a lull. I think the last two games, we're starting to see a resurgence. Hopefully this weekend out in L.A., we're able to, you know, to go full circle and find 3 points.
What should fans expect from this LAFC team?
Yeah, they're always one of the better teams. They've got big-name players. And, you know, last game, don't remember who they played, Portland. They have a French player, center forward, who's a World Cup veteran, played for Arsenal and Chelsea in the English Premier League. A guy named Olivier Giroud scored his first goal in the league. And so if he's starting to get on track, he's a center forward. If he's starting to get on track, then that's gonna be a difficult challenge for us. He's a big, strong, good center forward, and they've got some athletes around them that can get in behind us. A guy named Denny Bwanga, who's one of the better attacking players in the league. So it's going to be a tough game for us. It always is when we go out there. It's a big challenge, but hopefully we're able to continue sort of on this playing forward and creating chances like we have these last couple of games, maybe a few more, and maybe we're able to find the net.
You know, it's so interesting with sports in general. There are ups and downs with the teams. Obviously, winning covers a multitude of sins, but every team's going to struggle. We've talked a lot about the Cardinals are struggling this year. They're not where the fans are used to them being. Obviously, they're the Cardinals, a passionate fan base. With City SC, there was so much, you know, pomp and circumstance and celebration with them coming to St. Louis, but as they settle into being one of St. Louis's professional teams, it's not so much the newness as it is, and granted, they're still new, but it's not so much the newness as they are, they're one of our teams now. They're representing St. Louis. How has that been for the players going through that inaugural season, having success, now struggling a bit, and just having to keep pushing their way through this struggle?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think I said this before, that this seems a little counterintuitive, but one of the most difficult situations and the biggest challenges for the club was going 5-0 in our first five games.
Yeah.
And what the expectations then were for what success was going to look like for the immediate future. And look, we won five games, but we weren't necessarily the better team in each one of those five games. There were some breaks that went our way, and the ball fell for us, and we were able to score some goals and sneak a ball past the goalkeeper when now it's not. So I think just the expectations that were set from those early days and those early results, and we all remember what those first five games were like and how exciting everything was, the stadium, the games on TV, just everything about it. So, you know, now it's become a real grind. It's been really difficult on the players because a number of the guys were here for that inaugural season and those first five games. Mm-hmm. So it's it's a real grind for them, and they're sticking to it, and they're trying to get through it and find that momentum again. And right now, I think the real focus is how can we turn it around so we can make the playoffs and bring the playoffs to the fans?
Well, it can happen. The St. Louis Blues figured it out. I mean,
wow.
Right? It's been fun.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the 2019 season, worst to first, as everyone said. But this year, going on that 12-game mm-hmm. winning streak, they looked amazing last night. Turnarounds kind of work the same way in MLS?
Oh, 100%. Momentum is so important. And when you put it all together, if you remember year one, we went through a lull leading into the playoffs and we were ousted early. So mm-hmm. you want to catch fire at the right time for sure. You just got to make sure you're above the playoff line. The Blues, you know, snuck in there.
Oh, man, yeah.
And now look at them. They're playing the number one seed and going toe-to-toe with them and hopefully are able to pull it out. So, yeah, momentum's important, same way in the MLS as it is in the NHL.
That is Dale Schilly, St. Louis City SC Academy director and broadcaster on Y98. City plays LAFC Sunday evening at 6 p.m. It's perfect. While you're driving home from the Cardinals game, you can listen to City Soccer on Y98. Dale, thank you so much.
And we're going to bring a winner back. We're going to bring a winner this time.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Thank you, Dale.
All right. Bye.
That is Dale Schilly over on our sister station, Y98. You can listen to some City Soccer. You know, when they tie, Michael.
0-0.
Yeah, or
1-1.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we break out a Bud Light.
Mm-hmm.
And we play some American clips just to kind of bring back, like, hey, we're going to get a win or a loss here. I think ties are un-American. No ties. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Michael. Did you see this?
Did you?
I did.
I did. I saw a bunch of things that I want to talk to you about.
All right, what'd you see?
Well, number one, I was watching the hockey game last night.
Yes.
That first period, there was buzzing and stuff. I think you were at the hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
You were
notebook.
In the press box taking notes.
In my suit.
And what happened is the public address announcer, Mr. Calhoun, I think, mm-hmm. made the announcement of Tony La Russa. Listen to this. So that was the ovation that Tony La Russa received last night put on the board.
They played a clip. I think it was from the 2006
right.
World Series. 11 World Series, sorry. 2011 World Series. And the crowd's like, oh, yeah, there's the Cardinals. And you always wonder,
then,
why are they playing that? Then they zoom in on Tony La Russa, who's like glass level. And he stands up. The crowd goes crazy. What I thought was super cool, the entire Blues bench tapping their sticks, all the coaches clapping.
Well, how can you not? He is a legend that transcends sports.
Yeah. Looked good.
Yeah, he did.
He looked good.
He did. He looked a lot better than he did wearing that White Sox uniform, falling asleep on the bench. And he was in the front row, folks. I mean, he was right there for the action.
He was right there. That was him banging on the glass.
He was doing exactly what Amy Marks, of course, was not doing, which was cheering for our St. Louis Blues because she was up there.
Well, speaking of that, did you see this?
What?
The coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs is Craig Berube, our old coach.
Chief.
Love Craig Berube. I love Jim Montgomery. Love Craig Berube. Two best coaches. Right up there with Paul Maurice, who's the coach of the Florida Panthers. But there's this video that's going viral of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are playing the Ottawa Senators. They score a goal. The Toronto Maple Leafs do. The bench, you know, goes crazy. And the assistant coaches start kind of jumping and clapping. And Craig Berube kind of chastises Mark Savard, the assistant coach. There's a video of him looking at him. He's like, looks like he's like, calm down, you know, kind of pats his shoulder. And so that was that video of like, whoa, look at Coach Berube here telling his assistant coaches to calm down. So he was asked about it. And Berube said, "We ask the players to be composed. That goes for us too." Yeah. Like, hey, it's a long
good
postseason. Don't get so excited. I loved it. Matt, I asked you about it. You said you agree too.
Yeah, I think it's similar to us in the press box. You know, you don't jump up and down and wave your arms around. And yeah, if you're the coach, I think you should be composed as well.
If you're the assistant coach, you shouldn't be making a bigger scene than the head coach.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a problem with coaches reacting. I mean, I've seen Tony La Russa and Ollie Marmol jump to the top of the dugout on a home run, etc. But maybe Berube's got my favorite Taylor Swift song, you know, playing in the locker room, that you need to calm down.
Oh, my gosh. She's a Swiftie over
Are you here. Not a Swiftie?
No.
Why?
Because it's the same three notes over and over again.
I understand, but what's wrong with that?
Whiny. I don't know. It's just not my thing. Hey, you know what, though? She's very successful. I don't want to poo-poo Taylor Swift and then get in trouble. It's subjective. It's like, I will say this. I think... Okay, I have zero U2 songs on my Spotify playlist. I never listen to U2, but I can objectively say they're one of the greatest rock bands of all time. I get it. They're just not my style. Taylor Swift is the most successful pop star of all time, or one of them, or whatever, up there, you know, with the Beatles and Michael Jackson. She's just not my style, and that's okay.
Yeah.
My style, nobody likes anyway.
I like U2. I never listen to U2, though, you and Ronj. I'm just kidding. Ronj,
hey,
out of town. I'm with you all day today.
That's right. Okay, did you see this? I do want to say this. Do you remember when Nike did the sub-2-hour marathon with Eliud Kipchoge? How they got this race course. It wasn't legal. It doesn't count because in order for a world record to count in the marathon or in any race, you have to be on a certified course and a sanctioned event. And this was, we just want to show it's possible to run a marathon in under 2 hours, which he did. They had a phalanx.
I do
of
not
runners.
Remember this, but I get the premise.
They did a whole documentary on it. So they're doing a new project, and it is with Faith Kipyegon. And she is of Kenya, and they're trying to have her be the first woman ever to break the 4-minute mile.
Oh, my.
So no woman has ever run a sub 4-minute mile. Obviously, humans have. Roger Bannister, the famous story, back in the 50s. And to be a top miler as a male, I think the world record for a man is 3:43 in the mile, which is insane. But no woman has ever broken the 4-minute mile. So Nike's doing a moonshot campaign. They're calling it Breaking 4, Faith Kipyegon versus the 4-minute mile. And again, I don't think it will count because you have to do it in a sanctioned race. They're just saying, we want to do it.
They want to show that it can be done.
Show that it can be done and then get that critical mass.
Give me some perspective. When you were at the height of your training, what would a mile... time out at?
I don't know because I never...
Five miles? 6 minutes?
I mean, probably on a good day, I could break 5.
Wow.
Probably. On a good, like the best day if I trained for just the mile.
Uh-huh.
But barely. Like that would be my peak. Like say I ran 4:59.
Wow.
That'd be my peak.
Incredible.
Not even close to what these women are running. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. We've got...
Annie Fry
next.
She's going to the White House.
She is going to the White House, but before that, she has a pep rally about the mascots and kind of that controversy that's going on in Illinois with House Bill 1237. Annie Fry joins us next.